corporate giant Google has teamed up with US telco Verizon to announce a joint proposal to the Federal Communications Commission on how the internet should be regulated. Their plan has caused serious concerns among technology experts because it threatens what's called net neutrality. Critics say any move away from net neutrality would essentially create two versions of the web, one for those who are able to pay for the premium content and one for those who can't. So how serious is this proposal in terms of radical change in the way we use the internet? Mina Samanda spoke to Matthew Allen, Professor of Internet Studies at Curtin University.
Net neutrality, putting it simply, is the requirement that all traffic over the internet is treated equally. Verizon and Google are two of the most significant kind of internet players in America, and indeed for Google in the world. Google is very much a provider of a service. They don't own the infrastructure that makes the internet work. Verizon does own that stuff. So what Google and Verizon are suggesting is that there needs to be rule that is embedded in the way the US system works, that all the traffic over the fixed wires is treated equivalently. No one gets a better deal than someone else. You can't charge more or less for different kinds of traffic. But that rule wouldn't apply necessarily to wireless services, nor would it exclude a company like Verizon, which owns a very significant chunk of infrastructure, in creating what you might call premium services that you paid more for or got a better quality of service in return for more money.
Why are Verizon and Google joining forces, and what does it mean for the two companies?
Well, the first thing is that the reports about their proposals are very light. It's not any kind of strategic business alliance. It's not a partnership where one is going to give money to the other or anything like that. It is a proposal to start a conversation. It's been going on in America for at least 6 years now about network neutrality. It's an attempt effectively to find middle ground between those proponents of network neutrality who say, always, for all services across any kind of infrastructure, there must be no differential charging and no prioritization of some traffic over other network traffic. And those who say, this isn't going to work because we need to be able to charge more money for certain kinds of traffic or for a more reliable or faster service so as to either generate more profit for that company or, more usually, what they say is so that we can improve the quality of our network. But what they really mean is to make more money out of it. Here's the best way of understanding it in the contemporary world. When I sit down at a computer in America, and this is only in America, of course, and log into YouTube to look at videos, and of course YouTube is a company that's now owned by Google. Mm-hmm. Let's say I'm on the Verizon network. I go to YouTube, I look at the video, which comes to me quite quickly over their good broadband network. I don't pay anything more or less to Verizon for the quality of that service than if I was with another company like Comcast, another large American broadband provider. So that's network neutrality. My traffic over the Verizon network to a particular kind of service is treated exactly the same as if I was with a different provider. What a move to a non-network neutrality environment might mean is that Verizon would say, if you pay us another $10 a month, we will guarantee that your YouTube videos will come to you faster, and so you'll get a better experience, and that'll only be available to you over the Verizon network.
So that's not really net neutrality.
That's not net neutrality. It's a differential treatment of one person's experience over another's. So that's the risk. That's what people are worried about, that in return for paying more money, some people will get a better service, or that some people will miss out on something that's now available equally. Those people who are arguing for net neutrality want everything to remain flat and that everyone pays in the normal way and they don't get any special service because of that. And obviously phone companies are looking to, the people who provide the infrastructure are looking to find ways to offer premium products and make more profit. The key difference that the current plan of Google and Verizon, which is really just a statement saying, hey, this is what we think should happen, and it's not going to happen, people have to actually agree on it, and that might take 4 or 5 years, the way the American regulatory system works. The key difference is that Verizon is saying wireless systems, you know, everyone running around with their iPhones and their iPads, they're not plugged into anything, they're using wireless internet. These can be treated differently to your fixed wired internet to your home. And that, I think, is a major shift. It's an attempt to say, let's have net neutrality for one kind of service, but we won't have neutrality for another kind of service.
There has been a new buzzword that has emerged amidst the proposal, which is private internet.
Mm-hmm.
What is that and how would that work? Is that what they're proposing?
Private internet is one of those kind of catchphrases that could mean all sorts of things. But I think in relation to network neutrality, what a private internet would be is it's like a high-speed lane on a freeway that only some people can drive on. Now, at the moment, if all the people listening would know that on a freeway there's a special lane, a clear way, that people who've got 3 or 4 passengers or a bus, they can use that lane and beat the traffic jam. What some of the risks around moving to a non-neutral environment would be is that if you can pay for it, you get privileged access to a fast lane. So while everybody else is trying to download a movie to watch and it's taking maybe half an hour or the movie keeps stopping, and people who've paid more will be getting the movie in a much better format, coming faster or high definition. And when we think of it just in terms of movies, you might go, well, some people pay for gold class and they pay more to go to see the movies in a nice environment, so what's wrong with that? But if we think about the internet as a fantastic place for social and community development, education, healthcare, why should some people who can afford it get a better service in those public things like education and health than everybody else?
Professor Matthew Allen from Curtin University, speaking with Mina Samanda on The Fourth Estate.